Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about God is able to keep us from stumbling. So let's read Jude verses 24 and 25 again together. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Now in the last broadcast, I was trying to show you just what Jude says here in verse 24 is true, even though we're still sinners. Verse 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. This precious promise that God gave us here through the pen of Jude is designed to encourage and strengthen all of those who are genuinely saved and who are engaged in serious battles with heretics and false prophets. Jude is comforting the believer by saying that even though we are dealing with very serious threats to the Christian faith by evil and wicked men who are foreordained for condemnation, we ourselves are safe, and we will be kept by God and will be presented faultless before his throne. Now that is an absolutely wonderful thing to hear. Praise God. God is able to keep us from stumbling and will present us blameless before the throne of God. But precisely how does all this work? How does this work seeing that we are all still sinners even after we are saved? You see, beloved, we have a very real problem with this being true because we are still sinners. We sin every day even though we're saved. Being saved did not change the fact that we still sin. But if we sin, we are stained. And if we are stained, how does God present us before his throne blameless? This is a very important question that we must understand biblically. You see, after we are saved because of our new divine nature, we don't want to sin anymore, and we don't even mean to sin. But because our fleshly bodies were not saved, we sin every single day of our lives. John said this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we can see that the Bible says that we sin even after we're saved. So I repeat my question. How does God present us blameless if we still sin? How is it possible for God to keep us from stumbling if we sin? Doesn't the fact that we sin mean that we have already fallen? Doesn't God present us blameless before the throne? How does God do this when we still sin? This question goes to the very heart of the Protestant Reformation. The issue of a person being both righteous and sinful at the same time is the greatest issue that ignited the Protestant Reformation over 500 years ago. The issue of how a man becomes righteous before God was the material cause of the Reformation. It was expressed by the Latin phrase sola fide, which means by faith alone. And this one single issue brought forth the greatest revival of biblical truth and holiness that the world has ever seen. So let's examine sola fide and how it ties in to what Jude was saying here in verse 24. The phrase, by faith alone, means that the vehicle that brings the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us is faith, not works. It is not faith plus anything else. It is faith alone, absent any human works, that allows human beings to become righteous before God and be able to enter into heaven. Now, if that is true, if we are made righteous by faith alone, then salvation becomes a sovereign work of God alone and not a cooperative effort between God and man. So we need to dissect this very carefully. Every religion on earth agrees that we have to be righteous in order to go to heaven. Pagans believe that, Mormons believe that, Buddhists believe that, Muslims believe that, Jews believe it, Catholics believe it, and Protestants believe it. We do not differ in that respect. Where we do not agree is just how we obtain that righteousness. Biblical Christianity teaches that we sinners are made righteous instantly at the moment we are washed in Jesus' blood through the vehicle of faith alone. Every other religion and philosophy on earth believes that in some form or fashion, man has to either earn righteousness himself outright or that man cooperates in some way with God to obtain that righteousness. Now, all of this is very nice and interesting, but what does any of this have to do with the average Joe on the street in our day? Well, here's how. What you believe about how you obtain righteousness will dramatically impact everything else you believe about salvation, including whether or not God can present you blameless before His throne, as Jude says here. So let's investigate. First of all, we have to understand that God is holy and we are not. We are sinners, and God is perfectly and continuously holy and righteous. Nothing and no one is more holy and more righteous than God, and so anyone who is going to spend eternity with this holy and righteous God must be just as holy, just as righteous as God Himself is. Now, brothers and sisters, sin cannot and will not ever dwell with God. Sin cannot look at sin. God cannot look at sin. God cannot bear sin. God cannot accept sin. God does not whitewash sin. God cannot allow a single sin to enter into heaven. So the only way that anyone can go to heaven is that he has to become as holy and as righteous as God is. Jesus put it like this in Matthew 5:48. Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The expression of God's requirement for heaven is best illustrated in what we call the Ten Commandments that are listed over in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. In those verses, we can see God's own personal character and nature illustrated in these commands. In order to be able to be righteous in God's eyes and go to heaven, a person has to keep every one of these commandments perfectly, every minute of every day, in thought, word, and deed, for as long as he lives. Which, of course, is not hard, but is impossible for human beings to do. But it gets worse than that. Let's look at James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. Now, this verse tells that if you break a single commandment one time in your entire life, and if you break it in thought, word, or deed, you are guilty of breaking all the commandments. Because breaking one commandment makes you a transgressor of the law. And when you become a transgressor of the law, you're not righteous in God's eyes, and thus you cannot go to heaven. For example, if you kept 9 of the 10 commandments perfectly, which nobody does, and you broke only one, what would breaking that one single commandment make you? Well, you would be almost righteous, but not quite. You would be almost perfect, but not quite. You would be almost holy, but not quite. But what does it mean that you're almost righteous, perfect, and holy, but not quite? Well, it almost is not good enough. Because in God's eyes, we are either perfectly righteous and holy, or we're not. Close doesn't count. This is not horseshoes where leaners count. Being holy, almost holy, perfect, and righteous, but not quite, only means that you are unholy, unrighteous, and not perfect. And being unholy, unrighteous, and not perfect means that you are a transgressor of the law, and that means that you're a sinner. So, if salvation was dependent on human beings becoming perfectly sinless, then nobody could be saved. So, what do you see what God, so I'm asking you, do you see what God is doing here? By making the requirement for heaven impossible for people to obtain through their own ability and power, they will then seek after a Savior to do this for them. Because human nature is so corrupt, we will try anything, go to any length, start or stop anything to try to earn our own righteousness. So God set the bar so high that nobody could ever reach it except one man, Jesus Christ. And God further complicated this by saying that no one has the ability or the power to earn this level of righteousness by through his own power, not even wealthy people. I want you to look at this from Matthew 19, verses 23 through 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, this was the last straw. During this time in Palestine, wealthy people were considered to be in right favor with God by virtue of their wealth. So when Jesus told his disciples that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it was for a rich man to go to heaven, they blurted out, "Who then can be saved?" This is when Jesus made one of the most profound statements in all the Bible. Jesus saw their utter frustration over how impossible it is for man to earn his own salvation, and he replied, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." With this one statement, Jesus was taking away the last vestige of human achievement from salvation that we had left, leaving lost man utterly helpless to save himself by developing his own personal righteousness. Now remember, Jesus did not say it was hard for a man to save himself. Jesus didn't say it was even difficult for a man to raise his own personal righteousness to a level that would qualify him for heaven. No, no. Jesus said it was impossible. But then he also very quickly said that what was impossible for man is possible with God. Now why in the world did Jesus say this? Doesn't God want more people to come to him? Why would God make it harder for people to come if he wanted more people to be saved? Why set the bar so high that nobody could ever reach it? Well, the answer to this is one of the greatest answers in all the world. God did what he did in salvation so that he alone would receive all glory. Man cannot go to heaven on his own power. Man cannot raise his own personal righteousness high enough to earn heaven. So God wrapped himself in human flesh, came down and was born of a virgin, and Jesus Christ lived a very natural life and was tempted just like we are in all points of life, and yet unlike any of us, Jesus never one time sinned. You see, Jesus perfectly obeyed all of God's commandments continuously. And so by living a sinless life here on this earth as a man, Jesus Christ literally earned his own personal righteousness. And it is that righteousness, the sinless, spotless righteousness of Jesus Christ, that God imputes to sinful man at the moment that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins. And at that very instant, the greatest miracle in the history of the world takes place, and a lost sinner is declared righteous by a holy God. And by virtue of the righteousness of Jesus Christ being draped over him, that lost, vile sinner is made fit for heaven. Hallelujah. So because that righteousness is not our own personal righteousness, because the righteousness that allows us to go to heaven is the sinless and perfect righteousness of the Lamb of God, it is solid. It is permanent. It cannot fade away. It cannot ever be taken away. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be tarnished. And it can never be diminished. And this is why Jude can say in verse 24 with all confidence that God is able to present us before the throne of God blameless. And this is why Jude can say that God is able to keep us from stumbling. Now here's the catch. This is only true if it is Christ's sinless, spotless righteousness that is imputed to us by faith alone. If we are working in any way to earn our own righteousness, or if we are cooperating with God in any way to develop our own personal righteousness by trying to keep commandments or by participating in church sacraments or by speaking in tongues or by being baptized or by any human work whatsoever, then that human righteousness that we are developing like that will not be sufficient to keep us from stumbling, and that human righteousness will not be sufficient to present us blameless before the throne of God. So take heed, beloved. Make sure that the righteousness that you are trusting in is not yours, but that it's Christ's. Because if it's yours, it will fail you. But if it's Christ's, it will save you to the uttermost. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.